We're talking today with Jeff Edwards, our extension wheat specialist for the state of Oklahoma. Jeff, as we hit the winter season, we're starting to get cold enough now. I guess we're going to be getting into the dormancy time period for our winter wheat crop. I guess back Labor Day, you had no clue that we would be as in good a shape as we are, did you?
No. It's turned out to be a really good year. We had a very favorable November for wheat growth, and I think the activity in the stocker market is reflective of that. So you couldn't have asked for a better November. We've had timely rainfalls, and it's fallen very slowly, soaked into the soil, and we're going into dormancy in really good shape. And as you mentioned, if you'd asked me a couple of months ago, I would not have dreamed we would have been in this good a shape.
At this point, we got, I guess, the majority of the wheat in a timely manner this year, as far as especially for grain production, right?
We did get most of it in a timely manner. There's going to be some late emerging wheat in southwest Oklahoma and in far western Oklahoma, northwestern Oklahoma, and that wheat certainly that came up in November is not going to have full yield potential, but given the favorable conditions that we've had, it could still have near full yield potential if we do have a favorable winter.
You mentioned the fact that we indeed have got some impact on the stocker market, a little more wheat pasture than we ever dreamed as well.
We did. I'm really surprised. We clipped our forage trial here at Stillwater earlier in the week, and there will be some plots out there that I think will go 4,000 pounds per acre, which is abnormal, but it was amazing how much that wheat grew in November. Our other trial at Lahoma, or at El Reno, we have not measured forage there yet, but I think we'll have several plots there that will go well over 2,000 pounds per acre, which is amazing.
At this point, you know, what are you seeing out there? Are there some things that guys need to be paying attention to as we go dormant?
Well, we've seen some activity this fall with diseases, soil-borne diseases that are showing up a little bit. So if you're in an area in north central Oklahoma that's prone to maybe wheat spindle streak mosaic virus or wheat soil-borne mosaic virus, be on the lookout for that, which that's variety specific. We've also seen quite a bit of activity with our seedling diseases this year, and it was because of the dry conditions that we had. The plants were under stress. They were more susceptible to those seedling diseases, and we've seen quite a bit of that showing up. Some of the wheat has recovered, but it's still kind of a question on whether or not that might have an impact on how much winter kill we see, those types of things. So it'd be a good idea to keep an eye on those fields throughout the winter as well.
When we think about the you know, back up just a little bit in regards to varieties and whatnot, tell me a little bit about what you saw based on 2011 and how you think that maybe is translated into the varieties that we planted here for 2012.
Well, I've been putting the message out there for quite some time that it's time to upgrade your varieties and work some of those older varieties out of your lineup. And it seems that producers are taking heed when you look at the number of acres that are being planted to newer varieties. I fully expect Duster will become the number one variety in the state whenever we look at planted acres for this year. And then there's been a lot of activity, a lot of interest in newer varieties out there that had somewhat of a tight supply this year, varieties like Ruby Lee, Garrison, Armor is another one that comes to mind. And I look for acreage of those to increase, which is a great thing for our industry because as we get more acres to newer varieties, I think our yields will definitely increase.
Advice at this point for our guys for the next couple of months, maybe between now and maybe even the end of February.
Well, the main thing right now is be thinking about top dress, and I know coming out of a really bad year, it's going to be tough for guys to step out there and spend the money for top dress nitrogen, but it has to be done. And given the prediction for the rainfall over the winter, they're looking for us to be drier than normal. And for that reason, I would probably lean towards some earlier top dress applications this year to make sure we get that top dress nitrogen applied and that it has time to catch some rainfall and move it into the soil. So I look for us to start top dressing wheat in early January and continue through February. And again, the key there is to go ahead, step out there and make that nitrogen purchase and go ahead and put some money into the crop, because as it's looking right now, there's potential to really have a nice wheat crop in the state of Oklahoma, and it's important to provide the fertility that we need to make sure that we'll have a good crop at harvest.
One other thing, you mentioned to me the fact that you're getting a few calls right now from producers and others out in the country regarding viability of spring wheat. What are you hearing about that?
Well, I'm getting a few calls about spring wheat, and mainly we're dealing with a prevented planting situation. Maybe some acres were due to moisture or other reasons they weren't able to get in there and plant, and they're looking for options. And there are several options out there, spring wheat being one of the options. It's not my favorite option. There are a few reasons for that. They have to keep in mind that spring wheat, if it's co-mingled with hard red winter wheat, is considered a mixed class of wheat, and that's going to affect the price. So before you even consider spring wheat, you need to talk to your elevator operator and make sure that they're willing to accept it. That's square one. And after that, you have to consider what type of yield you're going to get. In trials that I did about 3 years ago, and also in trials that Gene Krenzer did back in the late 80s, we both found the same thing, that spring wheat, best case scenario, you're going to yield about 50% of what winter wheat would yield, and most years it's probably going to be closer to 30 or 40%. So the yield potential isn't that great. That might be a viable option for some producers, but they need to weigh that option against other options such as raising an oat crop for hay grazer, or maybe even considering a spring or summer crop on those acres, such as grain sorghum, soybean, something along those lines, and look at the economics and see what's going to be the best move for them.
Along those lines, going back to what obviously OSU has been advocating, some rotation, the rotation crop of choice seems to be winter canola. What are you seeing? Are you seeing the promise that was been made when we've talked about winter canola of when you come back with wheat? Does wheat do better pretty consistently on those canola acres?
Absolutely. The number that gets put out there quite a bit is a 10% yield bump for wheat following canola, and I think that's very realistic and might even be a little bit conservative. Wheat following canola will certainly do better than wheat in a continuous wheat system. The rotation effect is real. We're cleaning up our weed problems that are out there robbing moisture and nutrients from our wheat crop. So it's a great, absolutely great system, and it's a great option for our producers, and I'm glad that we have it.
Oklahoma State University Extension Small Grain Specialist, Dr. Jeff Edwards, joining us today. I'm Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.